Okay, good to go. You can start.
Just one second. When I introduced Rabbi Willard this morning in the yeshiva, welcome to yeshiva, a young Yerushalayim, very emotionally. He was there in 67, came to Yavne, so he described what happened. So I called him my going, so he got very upset with me. Very upset. So I said, they called me a going too, so I figured he's certainly a going. Okay. But he didn't respond to that. He told me, you know me 55 years and you still call me a guy?
I was once, she was here and we spoke upstairs and a lot of other changes here. I felt they don't all know him. They
right.
So I started giving an introduction to everyone. It was a full basement upstairs. And I started speaking and then all of a sudden I hear a clap. That's a word.
Yeah. He's coming tonight. I have a chasna. I'm already 2 hours late. Every night a chasna, but I couldn't be mevata at least one shiur this week. Tomorrow night I have a chasna, the Tuesday night chasna, Wednesday night a chasna, Thursday night a chasna. Those are the people I have to be there. Okay. What?
Sunday night
next week.
Next week.
That's the emistic a chasna. Okay. Philip, are you still there? The Ramban in the Hakdama, the Sefer Bamidbar. The Ramban's Hakdamas are very, not only are they famous, they're also saturated with all kinds of yesodos, all kinds of fundamental themes that the Ramban lays out. So here, I'll just read part of this Ramban. He writes in the Hakdamas of Bamidbar, Acha Shaviyah Toras HaKorbanos V'Sevi HaShlishi, after Vayikra, which is Toras Kanim, Hischelato V'Sadeh V'Sefer HaZeh HaMitzvos Shenstabu B'Inyan Oil Moi. Ukvar is here, Al Tumas Midah Shekodashim L'Doros, Ato, Yagbil es HaMishkan b'yosu b'midbar, kasher higbil ha-Sinai b'yosu ha-Kavod Shom. So the Ramban has a famous shita that he developed most extensively and expansively in Parshas Truma. Within the Ramban points out the conceptual and terminological parallels between ha-Sinai and the Mishkan. The Mishkan was essentially a mobile ha-Sinai. The Ramban writes that after the ha-Sinai experience, how are we supposed to maintain and sustain that? It's on the Parsha, Bimkom Birchas Kohanim. Okay, Yishekach. But I haven't forgotten my obligation. I'm just only saying one shiur this week because every night I have a chasana and pudding tonight. But my wife is present there at the chasana, so I come after. I just hope they didn't call me up for whatever, which they probably did. That's already happened many times. So I told my wife, then call me, you can go. Ishta can go for. So the Ramban has a shita that Mishkan equals Har Sinai. And here he alludes to it by pointing out that essentially what was the Har Sinai? It was a Mokam Pashuras HaShchina. But beyond that, the Torah stresses many, many times in the Pasha of Yisrael. And it's alluded to as well by Eschanim, but primarily in Yisrael we see it. The Torah divides Ha-Sinai into three different camps, three different sectors, and Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, Machane Yisrael, and in a similar fashion, that was the Mishkan, also divided into three, and there are many, the Ramban points out, terminological, linguistic, for a polyglot, like all of us. Many, many linguistic parallels between Mishkan and Ha-Sinai, and here he alludes to a number of them. Ba'azor ha-korev yumas. Kashe omar, yisokol yisokol. Bitzivu lo'evo liros kevalas ha-kodesh v'meisu. The last pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar. Over there, what does it say? Pen yersu l'ashem liros. Okay, now we're going to focus on that which we have an interest in this year, this evening. Namely, the din of Shmiras HaMikdash. Bitzivu, the Torah commands us, u'shmartem, eis mishmeres ha-kodesh v'eis mishmeres ha-mizbeach. Kashi Omar Shom, again the parallel to the Har Sinai. The Gam Hakohanim Hanigoshim Al Hashem Yiskadoshu. Hakohanim Ha'av Bnei Tziva. Eftia Mishmeres Hamishkan DeKelov. The Torah actually sets out, demarcates the nature of this Mishmar. Ve'ech Yachanu Soviv. How the different Shvatim are encircled, are in camp around the Mishkan. Vayamud Ha'am Mirachov. Hakohanim Hanigoshim Al Hashem Ech Yisnagu Bo. The role of the Kohanim in the Chanayah, and when they carry the Mishkan u'mayasu b'mishmato hakol ma'alei l'migdash u'kavavo. What's the nature of this entire absolutely majestic kind of encampment? And the answer is, this was to enhance, to in effect accentuate the prestige and to cover the glory of the Beis HaMikdash. Mashamu chazal, ein adom mepaltun shomelach sheyesh lo shomrim, mepaltun sheyen lo shomrim. Mahavdil me'avav ve'avdolos. The only thing we could possibly invoke is, I don't know if you ever were present in London at the changing of the guard, or perhaps in Ottawa, in Canada, at the changing of the guard with all of their majestic dress and raiment. And that, of course, doesn't come near 1/1,000,000th of the covet, actually, that was relevant in the Mishkan. That's Paltrin Shel Melech Sheshel Shomrim, the Paltrin Shel Shomrim. For those not familiar with that, model Swiss guards over there with El Papa in the Vatican. And that's not sufficient, Abdullah. Whatever the case is, the Ramban tells us that this is a mitzvah of Mishmer Sakredesh, Mishmer Samidash. And this Ramban is fascinating because more or less he has defined, he has attempted to really encapsulate what the mitzvah of Shmir HaSamigdash is. This mitzvah of Shmir HaSamigdash is also echoed by all the Rishonim. I'm going to show you in the Rishonim. Let's take a look at the Rambam in Perachet Beis Haftira. That's also directly below. Ram tells you, and there's many diukim to be derived from this Rambam and from the Ramban and from any Rishonim. Shmir HaSamigdash mitzvah saseh. This is a positive commandment. So right away, the Rambam disabuses us of the notion that the Shmirah was in order to prevent enemies, marauders, or brigands, or anyone who was engaged in thuggery. No, that's not the reason for this din of Shmirah Sabidash. She'en Shmirah also el cover though. Similar to what the Ramban said. Paltun shomelach she'esh lo shomim, paltun she'en lo shomim. And that's what the Rambam quotes as well. Halacha Beis. He tells us, U'shmirazu mitzvah sokol alayla. Now, this is the second issue. Beside the what the rationale for this mitzvah is, the question is, when is this mitzvah operative? What is it relevant? So offhand, one would say, if the rationale is, as we just mentioned, and adom and paltun shomel sheish lo shomim, paltun shein lo shomim, that's 24/7. That's something that should be on an ongoing basis. And yet the Rambam writes, U'shmirazu mitzvah sokol alayla. As a matter of fact, the Ramban, also in the Perish al-Badidbar, has the same position that after the mitzvah is at nighttime. And this argument, which of course is immediately poses a question, why should it be based on the rationale quoted by both the Ramban and the Rambam? Now, the Ramban in this little section does not mention the time frame for the mitzvah. And when he mentions it elsewhere in Perish al-Badidbar, he tells you explicitly it's balayla, similar to the Ramban. And the Rambam continues here. Vashomim him akonim valavim shenema viato banecha itcha lefnei oel ha'edus. Kolomar, attend to you, shomim lo. You are the guardians. Vavinema b'shomu es mishmeres oel moed v'nema v'achonim keimu lefnei oel moed v'zrocha Moshe Aaron v'vonav shomim mishmeres ha'migdosh. So they are the ones who are designated to guard the Beis HaMikdosh, kayadua. The Rambam goes on in Halacha Gimel. And if they were mavato the shemira of the below saaseh, the violate Allah, shenema b'shem was mishmeras hakodesh, who the shon shemira azhorehi halamadata sheshmira so mitzaseh. This is a well-known statement in Chazal. Yishom mepen ba'al refers to Allah all over Shas. The Gemara says, and that's the makor that the Rambam cites over here. Ubitul shemira so someone does not carry out this shemira. The Rambam says there's a bitul in effect. Mitzvah lo sase. You are mevatel a negative commandment if you will go ahead and don't carry out this mitzvah. The Rambam just says one or two more things. Let's read. Mitzvah shmiraso shirakonim shom bifnim. The corner are inside, valavim bachutz are outside. And the Rambam tells you that essentially this shmirah takes place b'chol laila, tomid, b'chol dal makom, in 24 places. Hakonim begivu mekomos, alavim b'chol dal makom. And he tells you exactly where the shmirah took place. And more or less, this is the mashmos of the Rambam. So one can now pose another question. Is this din relevant b'zman einuano? Is it relevant today? Is there a din of Shmir HaMikdash b'zman hazeh? Because we pass the halacha, the Gemara, the machlokes all over Shas. In Zvachim and Megillah, so many different places, where the Kedusha Rishena, Kitcha L'Shaitam, Kitcha L'Sidavo, and the same issue with reference to Kedusha Shnia, So the Rambam is a famous psak. The Rambam paskins, Kedusha Rishonah Kitchel Shaita, we like Kitchel Asilava. But then the Rambam says the Rambam, he writes in Besaptira and elsewhere, Legabe Eretz Yisrael, that the Kiddush that was initially effective regarding Eretz Yisrael is rendered null and void, was bottled by the Kibush and Nebuchadnezzar. Actually, a Sugi and Hashalach, the Gemara Gittin, the fourth parak, by Yishimenu Shevi. So Kibush essentially undermined that initial act of Kiddush. However, the Rambam says, it is not true the Gabbai Migdash. The Migdash, the Kedusha, the Magam Migdash, was effectuated and came to being as a result of Kedusha Rishona, and that Kedusha was not Batel. The Rambam quotes actually a Mishnah Megillah. Mishnah says, Vashimos is Migdashechem. So the Mishnah points out, Afilu, even Bishmama Migdashasa Ne'omnim, even though they are now rendered desolate because of the Churban HaMikdash, Bechalzo, the Kedusha remains. And the question the Rambam himself poses, why is there a distinction between the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha of the Makom HaMikdash? Why is the Kedusha of the HaMikdash extant while the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was batel? So the Rambam has a famous distinction, which is not my issue right now. He's machal between Kibush and Chazokah. And on this, I would venture to say, Harbe Dio Nishpach, Rabbi Kulmusim Nishtabru, to understand that distinction of the Rambam between Kibush and Chazokah. Kibush can be rendered null and void by a subsequent Kibush, a subsequent conquest of some other nation, as in the case of Nebuchadnezzar. However, Chazokah, that somehow cannot be undone. That remains. Okay, so you'll pursue the matter with all the Nosi Kelim of the Rambam and the Mikdash Zobit by Richos, and so many have discussed it, including my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, on many, many occasions.
But when did the Kedusha come back?
Okay, that needs, this is part of the same discussion, which is not really my issue right now. But if you're interested one day, I'll be glad to provide you with a few weeks of shiurim on this topic. So but my interest right now is is this mitzvah relevant today? The mitzvah Shmiras HaMikdash. So Lechura, one could say, if according to the Rambam Shita, if Dusha Rishon Kitchel Shaitim Kitchel Asulavo, especially regarding the Mikdash, that Dusha remains, why not? Why not? Now you could argue, no, because the Rambam himself and the Ramban both quote the rationale that I mentioned a moment ago. Ein adom paltur nishesh shomrim, the paltur shelo shomrim. There's no paltur in. There's fucking paltur in. Ika chasim and asevra. So you might argue that perhaps it's not relevant. On the other hand, the Mishnah Megillah seems to tell us otherwise. The Mishnah says that, as I said, abba vishesh shomrim b'kedushasen enomnim. And since the makom is a makom kadosh, so perhaps all the kibbutzim, the Beis HaMikdash, are also relevant. They're also operative. So it's not clear. At least from initial preliminary analysis, it's not so clear. So the famous tshuva of the Sochet Tshuva of the Ali Nezer. And correct, exactly. Because there's a philosophic question here as well, which I'm not discussing. Namely, is there a contradiction between physical desolation and Kedusha? Can Kedusha reside in Shemama? Is that possible? Or are the two mutually exclusive? Yesh b'zeh makom b'adun, both philosophically and halachically, and here we're not concerned so much with the philosophy right now, but more the halachic aspect of it. So yesh panu l'kam l'kam. So the Sofer Tshuva, the Avi Nezer, wrote a lengthy tshuva on this topic. I heard this from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. He used to call the Avi Nezer from time to time. He called him Achsir Shebriska. What a terminology. Because his terminology is very brisk. Anyone who knows the Avi Nezer, they have the Tal. And the Cheshabis, they're probably more familiar with it. But even the truth of the Avi Nezer is munochim. His hasogas, his musogim, are so brisk. And he came before brisk. So it's possible there were a few who not learned even before the briskers arrived on the scene. I told already many times the story. We were learning your dad, Rav Soloveitchik, and the Shach, we were reading a Shach, he was very into the Shach and to the Taz, but the Shach we were reading, and he says, how can it be? The Shach says the Yisod, that's Abchaim Rizka, and he came after us. And then he said, the Shach spilled the beans. That's with Zaloshin. And then he says, Kaneh, you also know how to learn. So that was like a chiddush to me. I thought that Rav Chaim Briska was the one who discovered, Columbus discovered America, and Rav Chaim Briska discovered Torah. But anyway, the Sochet Tshuva, from the Salvation Tor, was a chiddush of Briska. So he has a long tshuva, and he assumes that based on this, what I just discussed, Dushu Vishen and Kitchel Shaita and Kitchel Asilabu, the Gabi, the Mokam Abidosh, so therefore, the basis for it is covered. There's a chiv today. To the Mechabit the Makom HaMikdash as well. That covenant entails Shemira. That covenant entails actually God in the Makom HaMikdash. So This is the position of the Sachet Shava. If you look in the Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch here also on the upper left-hand corner, when he discusses this mitzvah, so he says explicitly that the mitzvah is not b'zman habayis only, I'm sorry. Says the mitzvah is not only b'zman habayis, not today. And again, take a look at the Lashon. Shen stavu ha'konim ha'leviyim lishma ha'migdash, l'adachas svivo tamid b'cholayda v'layla. Now the Lashon of tamid would normally imply tamid means 24/7. But here he said tamid b'cholayda v'layla. Kol ha'layla. That derech agav, the chinuch almost always follows the Rambam. Almost always. There are here and there some exceptions to the rule. If you learn the entire Sefer HaChinuch, when I was a kid, my father was shown one of the things we did in our house, we learned the entire Sefer HaChinuch more than once. Not the Minchas Chinuch, so don't get nervous otherwise. It was just the chinuch. We were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. He thought the chinuch was a very critical study that we should engage in. We used to read also Motzei Shabbos. Every Motzei Shabbos, we read the Geras Ramban. That was Motzei Shabbos. Every particular Zman had his place. There was no time for anything which people do. Late movies, there were no movies, there was no TV, Gomish been Gomish. The only thing there was, Geras Ramban, Geras Agor, there was Tehillim, and there was a Shnayim Bigim Mechatargum, and there was a Chinuch, and my father liked also the Sefer Menorah Samor. He went to an entire Sefer. It took 10 years to go to that Sefer. Very lengthy Sefer. A lot of Musa. Now you see why my position toward Musa is what it is. Anyway, so so here, the Chinuch writes over here, the obligation, the Chalayla, the Shmir Azuki, the Chavdo, the Rolomo, the Faro. What are we trying to do? To accentuate the glory, the majesty of the Beis HaMikdash. Lo miyosham pachad me'ayiv halayla. Shenema b'sham 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 means a palace. Wow. The Chinuch says that what is the underlying element that pervasive in this mitzvah? When you have a majestic-looking home, which of course the Mishkan represented, and the Big Dekuda were part of that, the Chavod of Sivaras, the Ramban writes in Chumash, the Perush al Torah. So that happens, that automatically will create a sense of awe, will create a certain aura, an aura of majesty, of aristocracy. And when people come there, he basically encourages the Chavod Amin, so welcome Tefillah, then their hearts will be softened, and hopefully the Nes Hashem that will inspire them, that will engender a directive to do tshuva. And then he writes further, and then he writes in Dini HaMitzvah, and you'll take a look, that he said the last four lines. So he limits the mitzvah to the Zman HaBayis. The mitzvah is not relevant according to the Chinuch, Bizmanenu Onu. So the reason offhand, again, one would argue that Kavod HaMikdash is something which, of course, is the base, as he writes over here, the Chinuch. But Bizman HaZeh, Ma Yesh Lishmar, there's no physical presence. There's no physical Beis HaMikdash. So, therefore, the assumption of the Chinuch that this particular mitzvah is no longer relevant was only relevant, as I said, Bizman HaMikdash, Bizman HaBayis. And you can actually see this idea, which is mentioned already by the, not just by the Chinuch, but by other Paschim as well. All the Paschim discuss this question. And it's an ongoing question. And what is the fundamental basis for the Shmira? Is it Mishum Kavod HaMikdash? That's the basis of this? Or no? They already implied that perhaps it's in order that Kol Zar, that anyone who doesn't belong there should not be there. Kol Tomei Lo Yikones, anyone who's as whatever tumah, they're not allowed to go into certain areas which are sected off. That might be the reasoning. And the Vilna Gaon, for example, writes in Maseches Tumah, if I recall correctly, he mentions there that Shomrim, the idea of Shomrim, is mentioned in Korach. Korach has the 24 Matas Kahuna, also mentions that a Zayar should not enter the Makom HaMikdash. And the Gemara asks the Kasha, what's the Makom for that? And the Gemara points out, in general, since the Sha'arim of the Beis HaMikdash are Sagur, Mesugar, since everything is closed, what do you need Shmira? So the Gemara quotes the Psukim Bachonim, Neh Migdash Kema, Moshe Varon Avonav, there's a mitzvah to be Shomer, and the mitzvah is on Konim Leviim. Why do you need Konim Leviim? Bachonim, okay, whatever, the long discussion, but the Gaon contends, and there's a Rashi actually, Rashi in Bamidbar, in Perek Gimel Pasuk Vav, Rashi says, and this Pasuk here, Vishersu also, Umau Asheris, says Rashi in this week's Pasha, Rashi said, what's the reason that a zar, a non-kohen, should not come where he doesn't belong? And Rashi goes on, not exactly the same job. That's a very good question that needs a careful examination, which I didn't have a chance to do. I believe there's a distinction between the role of the Kohanim and the role of the Leviim. But you see clearly, according to Rashi, that what is the nature of the Sherus that the Torah is talking about? Shmira. And what kind of Shmira are we talking about? Not Shmira the way the Ramban and Rambam described, namely that a palace of the king requires guards. But rather Shmira from Tumah, Shmira from Zarus, that a non-Kohen should not enter where he doesn't belong, and no one Tumah should enter the area as well. So that is clearly, that question is relevant to the issue that I raised before, namely, is this mitzvah relevant between anyone or not? If the time is Shali Kani Zor, and that you should not have someone who's Tomei entering the area, perhaps one might argue that's not relevant. On the other hand, there's room to say, even with that, it might be still relevant. The question is about entering the Makom HaMikdash between anyone in the, going up to Har Bayis. This is the whole discussion around the Ravid, other Rishonim as well. And there's a commenter, of Kuk, questions, what's the kind of that Ravid that I didn't Xerox over here? But the Ravid indicates that there's going to be some sort of onesh, and even though they're not bikores, especially if you hold like the Ravid that kedusha, you assume there's no kedusha, so then there's no problem the Korah. But there's still a lot. That's where Kuk Zatzal writes, and many others also write like that. There's still a lot. My Rebbe was completely and totally opposed to entering Har Bayis, mamish lahashmi baru labed. Just like all the chief rabbis were also opposed to it as well. There are here people who indicate you can't go up to Har Bayis and prepare for it properly. I think I told over several times earlier, I mentioned it, I asked him this question three times, of course, it's 21 years, and the third time he told me, you're a Shah Muad, the third time you asked me this kasha, and the first time he told me, I can't do it, my Shver is opposed to it. Second time he sat with me, and we went to Mishnais and Tyrus and all kinds of Rambams to see exactly what exactly the parameters are. And the third time he told me, I certainly cannot go. And I asked him, why not? I'm not holding by Midoshi Tiro. He's not holding by that pasuk. We just read it. Midoshi Tiro. So therefore, he himself was opposed to it. But Rav Soloveitchik said that anyone going to the Har Bayis, you're playing with fire, with Eish. Kach shamati b'pipotcho. He was very opposed to it. And it's become a thing in the last number of years in this country. There are a lot of things that have become things, if you will. But I won't go into detail. I discussed it with Hagoyin of Nevesol Shlita a number of times. I once brought a whole group of Talmidim to him in Yeshiva 15 years ago, and I planted the question, and one of them, I would dare ask the question, but I planted the question, that's what I do. I planted the question, and he said he heard, first he asked if he has to speak in Hebrew. So Rabbi Nevesol said that Rabbi Chanoch Teller taught him English, because he had to give Haskama to his books. And his books, he sat with an Oxford dictionary in order to understand the words that were utilized over there. Anyway, so he does speak English relatively well with a strong accent. The kids are, plus he said, I've been an American yeshiva for the last X number of years, last number of decades, so I'm familiar with English. Anyway, to make a long story short, this fellow said, no, you can speak in English. I'll answer in Hebrew, and you'll speak English. If the fellow wasn't happy with Hebrew, I'll answer in English too. Anyway, and then when the fellow asked the question, he leaped out of his chair. I'm not exaggerating. I was frightened, partially frightened, and told him, Chas v'sholom, shum panim v'ayfen, that one should, God forbid, even have such a habamina. There was a well-known discussion among two Gdoli Yisrael, I won't mention their names, in a certain yeshiva. The yeshiva that happens to be here in Eretz Yisrael, and there's someone who's marrying up a child on Wednesday night, he's a Rosh Yeshiva. He's not in a shul called Beis Tefillah. You're not wrong. So maybe he'll tell you about this dialogue. I don't know if he was there. Perhaps he was not there. Dialogue between two Gdoli Yisrael. I'll tell you one of their names. He won't tell you the other one. One of them is Hagoyin of Shlomo Fischer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yarech Yomo. He was an issue in my days. So that issue came up, and it was against another Gadol who said that you can go up to Har Bayis. the Absalom Fisher and Meshub Gabal went nuts. Pashut, I heard from people who were there, Eide Meir, Eide Shmir, and Chas for Shalom, Rahman Litzlan. And this was a, and the other person decided not to get into a rubble fisticuffs with Hagoyim of Absalom Fisher, but he became enraged that anyone would even have a mina of going up to Harbayis, which is against the Masera of Doli Ador, Lorech Kol Adoros, all the generation, every chief rabbi, every single chief rabbi from Bakuk all the way to the present chief rabbis were opposed to it, completely opposed to it. Okay, but I'm only indicating simply that this issue may be subject to this question, namely, what exactly is the reasoning, the rationale for this mitzvah? Is it based on this Paltim and Sheishlo? And Adom and Paltim and Sheishlo Melech, Paltim and Sheishlo Melech, perhaps it has some other kind of basis. And the second issue, as I said, is the question whether it's only by Laila or perhaps even by Yom. Again, if you look at the Mefarish and Masechus Tomid over there, he writes very clearly, the Mishnah Melech quotes it. He quotes the Mefarish and Masechus Tomid. Masechus Tomid is a beautiful Masechta, and people like to learn it. It's an easy Masechta. When I was in eighth grade, the Rebbe didn't teach Gemara. Why? Because there were no Shkufiyot on Gemara. Slides. So he wanted to teach with slides. He was a very creative kind of Rebbe. He wasn't the main Rebbe. The main Rebbe was Rav Sheshesky, Zechazad Dirocha, who went to Mishiva and Brisk. But there was another Rebbe who was like a scan, like the assistant to the Rebbe. So he was very much younger, and he was into slides. So there's slides on Tomid and Midos. So the whole year we learned with him, Tomid and Midos. That's what I remember. Yisri Agusa, Mersa, and Shabbos, and Mishtachal. So that was very good, even though it wasn't the classic kind of limud that one should do. But anyway, people learn the eighth grade Beruba. No one knows what the heaven's name is going on there anyway. So this was more exciting. And the Rebbe was able to connect with us in a very serious kind of way. Anyway, the Mefarish, the Mishnah Melech calls the Mefarish, Masechus Tomid, that he writes over there that the Shmirah was Bayom Balayla. But he mentioned there are many who disagree. There are many who contend the Shmirah is only Balayla and not Bayom. And as we saw a moment ago, the Chinuch himself writes that the mitzvah is Lishmor Hamigdash, Alechet Tzviva, Tabi B'chalayla, B'layla, Kol Alayla. And as I said, this is the subject of the big Machlokes HaRishonim. Okay, I just want to mention a rush. The rush actually, I didn't Xerox the rush, I should have, but the rush says Beferish, the Shmir is also by Yom. Also takes place during the day. He writes very clearly, the Shloshim Mekomos HaKoron and Shomrim, and he mentioned that this Shimur is not because of Gineva or Zela. He writes over there, Ein Anirus Makam Ashiras. It's the expression in Chazal. It's covered on Migdash. But he gives another time that we didn't see till now. Hesech Adas. You're not allowed to be Masiach Das, says the Rosh. Lo Bayom Lo Balayla. And he quotes in Pasuk in Melachim Beis that there's an Easter of Hesech Adas regarding the Migdash. Oh, that's the question. The Pashas. What? I would say I think the question is a very good question. Upon whom is the Easter? So he understands the Easter on those that are obligated to God. They're obligated to God 24/7. Namely, the Kohen and Levim, those that are involved in the Mishmar, there's an Easter Hesach Adas. They're not of the Nasiach Das and the Migdash. I mean, what's the reason, for example, why the Kohen Gadol, Mishnah and Sanhedrin? Why the Kohen Gadol, Lo Yetze? He's not allowed to leave the Makam HaMigdash because it's usher for the Kohen Gadol to be Masiach Das. But they bring a Raya, and I don't know if you will like this Raya. I believe the Raya brings this Raya. The Raya actually, if I'm not mistaken, I saw it actually, the Raya over there in his parish, Maseches Tomid. So he writes over there that the din of Shmira bePashtus should be offhand. I think he quotes from one of the Rav Shmuel Achosid. I can't be held accountable. I think he quotes from Rav Shmuel Achosid, one of the Rishonim, and he quotes the Pasuk. People sing it. Al Chomosayich Yerushalayim If Kadeti Shomrim Kol Hayom Bechol Halayla Apostle. It's pretty clear in that passage, which is a beautiful nigga. It's Kol Hayom Bechol Halayla. So, yesh, welcome to bring rayas this way, that way. But I'm just raising the issues with you and just presenting them to you. I want to just now speak about something else, which I think is also very, very, very relevant. And I'm not here now to discuss another question, which to me is also a serious question. Is this an avoda? Shmiras HaMikdash. Is this considered to be one of the avodas of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Aminezi and that tshuva, the Sacha tshuva, claims it's an avoda. Now that's a Chiddush Gadol. Now look at the Rambam. Look at the one more Rambam, and he brings this Rambam in Halacha Vav, in the middle of the Perek Ches. of what we just read, Rambam says, "Lo you akonim hashomim b'sheinim v'big day kodesh." They didn't sleep with big day kahuna. Elam the kapel mosam manichasam k'neged Hashem v'loshim b'big day atzmon v'sheinim al ha'aretz. So you see from the Rambam that dafka yisheinim not with big day kahuna. What about shmira? Then the sachach of shmira is a big day kahuna. So again, the issue is he doesn't mention here the levim, but the dig is from Kohen. The dig is from the Lashon Ram Makonim. It says that what happens, take a look a bit further. He quotes here that Kedach Shkol Shomri Chatzeros Shalishan Alamitos means you have to be on guard. And he discusses that there was a kind of Toranut that went on. And there's Halacha Yud here as well. But the Toranut, apparently, well, you see that when they did the Shmira, when they slept not with Big Dikuna. But the Shmira apparently was done with Big Dikuna. Now we know the Avnei, the Rambam Paskin, this is a Sugya and Yuma that we're learning now. Or a while ago, that it was Kalayim. And the Gemara's Medayik in the Gemara later on in Yuma, I believe, is Medayik that we can't wear them Shlomo Shas Avodah. That's a machlok. The Kohen Gadol certainly cannot wear them Shas Avodah. But the Kohen Gadol, that's a different halacha. But Shmir is an Avodah, requires big Nikuna. So this is the discussion that needs a lot of attention. And this is the Sacha Chava claims that Shmira has to be big Nikuna. I think this is Tamua Moed Moed. I think it's absolutely impossible to say that. How could Shmira be an avoda? First of all, as you said, I think Dr. Stern was referring to, Levim also are involved in Shmira. And also it's taking place here in Har HaBayis. And avoda is not Shaykh in Har HaBayis. It's not related to Har HaBayis. It doesn't take place over there, the avoda. And not only that, I believe, if I'm mistaken, the Mepharish says over there in Tomid, Tanim can also be involved in Shmira. And certainly, Tanim love the avoda, they know. The whole concept of avoda, the Beis HaMikdash is not Shaykh Tanim. So I think that it's very, even the diuk that he wants to make here from Lashon Rambam, again, I'm not here to offer any time, but I think the whole position is very problematic. Okay, I want to mention something else now, which I think is also relevant. They forgot to put a clock here, but actually there's one behind me again. That's always the same problem. There are something that troubles me already for decades. And this issue, my father showed me this kasha. I still learned Mishnais in my father. So when I'm in the eighth grade, I still learned Mishnais and Tamil and Midos. My father, the slides. My father was very good with slides. I don't even know how to use a telephone. But anyway, so there are two places in Chas where you find this din of Shmiras HaMikdash, in Midos and Tamil. So my father asked me, why is it repeated? Why is it duplicated? You have many, many parallels between what's found in Mishnais of Tamil and Mishnais of Masechet Midos. I don't know if you, I didn't Xerox it over here, but I think I Xeroxed part of it. I thought I did, maybe I didn't, I don't remember. So the question is, why the duplication? So I was Zeicher once, to go to Paprengen, at the Lubavitcher Rebbe, at the Tzadik D'Brach. I wish I could find that dollar. I can't find it. He gave me a dollar. He also made a l'chaim. I went many, many decades ago when there weren't so many people. So it was, when I went to Meron in Toshin Lamadal, there were 300 people in Meron. What usually occurs on a regular day in the course of the year. Now there are 300,000 people. But then there were 300 people. The only thing that was happening in Meron, they were shechting cows right there in front of the tzion. I forgot to bring my fireman boots. So other than that, it was very, very calm, very relaxed, very carefree. Anyway, so if you take a look at those Mishnayos, it seems, Pashtus, that the distinction between the two is the following. And again, this is just a suggestion, but the suggestion was made by the Lubavitcher Rebbe at that Pabrengian that I went to. He went on for hours without a note in front of him. Such a goyim, such an unbelievable person. So if you take a look in the Mishnayos of Tamid, I thought I Xeroxed part of it, but I did not do so. But it would seem, and this is what he, I believe, suggested, that there in Maseches Tamid, it mentions the Gimel Mekamos Shakonim Shomrim. In Maseches Midos, it mentions the Levim were also Shomrim Chafal Mekamos, Rambam quotes it over here. So the function of Maseches Tomid is different than the function that is found in Maseches Midos. And this has to be examined carefully. But he suggested that Maseches Midos is based on, it's a din essentially that Shmiras HaMikdash is something which is inherent to the Mikdash itself. Paltarin Sheyesh Alav Shomrim. And there it mentions, as I said, the number of places that the Levim used to watch, the number of places that the Kohen used to watch. And that's how it became Paltarin Sheyesh Alav Shomrim. That there are Levim, there are the Kohenim, who are guarding the Makom HaMikdash. So on the contrary, the more Shomrim there are, so it would seem that that enhances the kavod of the Beis HaMikdash in terms of Paltarin Sheyesh Alav Shomrim. The more Shomrim there are, the better it is. So I believe he suggested the following, if I recall correctly, that one set of Mishnayos is talking about the Chayvas Gabra. It's the obligation that devolves upon the Kohen and Levim to guard the Mikdash, and that's their essentially their mandate. That's found in Maseches Tomei. However, if you look in Maseches Midos more or less describes all the different Midos or the different appurtenances that were found actually in the Makom HaMikdash and the Mishkan. So he said that's a din mitzad hechetzah, almost like a brisker kind of dialectical dualism. Absolutely beautiful explanation. Then years later, I examined it. I didn't bring it with me. I should have, but no question, he's right on the mark. The Rabbi Shirevi said it was 100% correct, namely that one refers to the chetzah, one refers to the gabra. Okay, so just a few more minutes. There's as I said, the Rambam Shita is Yadua, the Kama Mekomos. The Rambam writes. In Pirush HaMishnayos, he writes in the Mishnah Torah that Yerushalayim is an integral part of Beis HaMikdash. There are people, Adiyam Azeh, I think I mentioned from Beit Shemesh, I know a number of people, that on Sukkot, they take the lulav, v'kachta lechem, ayam rishon, first day, and then the other days, the mitzvah of lulav is not min haTorah, it's only takar chachamim, it's a Mishnah and Sukkah, avechim etzakim, v'nesakim, you should take it all the days zechel and mikdash, but they want to be mekayem the din d'oraisa usmachtem u'me'ashem lekechem shivas yomim. They take it here. They go to Yerushalayim every single day. There are briskers who do it, and even those that are not necessarily learned brisk, they also do it. The Mishnah Berurah actually quotes this from one of the Dodi Achronim, and it's a very good practice. This is based on the Rambam Shita that Yerushalayim is a chelek mikdash. So that generally we assume that's what this is another machlokes. But it's only Yeratika. Well, what about all the extended area of Yerushalayim, Harnof, and every other part of Yerushalayim that was annexed? This comes up on Purim, which do they observe Tesvav or they observe Yudalit? That machlokes Rabbi Yashin and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman assume all Yerushalayim. And the question is, what is the criteria? Is it where you pay taxes? They're all paying taxes to the municipality of Yerushalayim. Even the extended areas. Oh no, maybe it's not totally on that. So that's a nachla, I guess. But I think most assume today, all of Yerushalayim, they observe Tesla, as far as Purim is concerned. What was that? No, Kalamoy.
First day, right? First day is Daraisa here.
First day is Daraisa in Chutzar. It's Chutz, and the first Daraisa here as well. Well, Kachim Ram and Yamarishan is the Din Daraisa, Umbetum, everywhere. Mashenki, and the other days, that's a Takanas Chazal, but in the Yerushalayim, the Bnei Hashem, is Shivas Yomim, correct. So that Shivas Yomim is also in Yerushalayim, because according to the Rambam Shita, Yerushalayim is a Chelek of Mikdash. That's the Shita's Rambam. So therefore, because the Kedusha comes from the presence of the Shekhinah, that's what I mentioned more in the Mishnah Megillah. Rashi mostly in the Shechem, Avri Sheshomim, Midushasim, and Yomim. Another point is there's a Skula to Yerushalayim, and it's an extension of the Makom HaMikdash. So the Briskers are very fond of Pasuk in Shmuel, Bey is Parakei here, took in Dal Tavav, it says that Ben Shloshim Shona David Ben Malcho, V'Arboim Shona Malach V'Chevron, I'm sorry, V'Arboim Shona Malach, V'Chevron Malach Al Yehuda Shel HaShonim, V'Shish Chadashim, V'Yushalayim Malach Shloshim V'Shel HaShona, he was 33 years the king of Yerushalayim, I call yourself Yehuda. V'Yelach HaMelech V'Anosha V'Yushalayim El Ha'ibusi Yoshiv Ha'aretz. So the Radak comments here, and the Pasuk V'Yelach HaMelech V'Anosha, Divayomim, in the parallel Pasuk to this Pasuk here, Malachim, whenever you learn Malachim, you got to learn Divayomim at the same time, because they're parallel. So there it says, Divayomim, Vayelech David v'chol Yisrael. There it says, Vayelech HaMelech V'Anosha. And here it says, Divayomim, Vayelech David v'chol Yisrael, says the Radak, he called Yisrael, ho you ata Anosha. Now they all became his, shall we say, his citizenry. Became Rishim Malach HaKol Yisrael. Since now he was ruling all Klal Yisrael, Malach says the Radak, he went to Yerushalayim. Will come to Tzidastiyon. If he shahoyse Kabbalah esam, Radak writes this. I mean the Radak. There was a Kabbalah Masera Kitzion Rosh Malach Yisrael. That Tzion is the basically the Rosh mamlocha, v'lo yilko, which means you won't capture it, ela misha yeh melech al kol Yisrael. Only if you are melech over everyone. V'alayom v'niskayim v'malchus b'Yisrael, kishol v'kama malchuso. Shol's malchus did not last. So the yisod of the Radak is unbelievable. In the first 7 years, when David HaMelech was melech al shevet Yehuda milvad, and Yerushalayim was in the shetach of the shevet Yehuda, he wasn't able to capture because he wasn't yet a melech al kol Yisrael. That's why the Lashon initially is v'alayom v'malchus b'Yisrael. And then Yom Meirach David v'chol Yisrael. That's a deal with the Radak, which is a hell of a deal. And I saw the Maral in his Sefer Netzach Yisrael. So he writes the following. He said, I'm reading his Lashon. Ki Yisrael misachtim al debei sabigdash. Oyelam koinecha mizbeachecha nesu abomos. Shelo yelam pirut v'chilik b'Yisrael. Bebei sabigdash. Ve'al yad b'sabigdash ve'al yodo heim uma achas. They become one nation. Bebei sabigdash l'gemar chagiga. Yerushalayim, Yir Shechub, Olam, Yachdom, Nasu, Kol Yisrael, Chaverim. All Kol Yisrael become Chaverim, Dafka, in Yerushalayim. So this Achdos, which is embedded in the Mikdash, in Yerushalayim, I believe is a Pshat in the Gemara. Gemara Brachas, a famous Gemara. Tana Abano, Hayomi, V'chutz Aretz, told by the Rambam, the Shulonach, Yechavines, Libo, Kedeged Arz Yisrael. Hayomi, V'Arz Yisrael, Yechavines, Libo, Neged Yerushalayim. Nimtzu, Kol Yisrael, Mechavines, Libo, Mevakam Echad. I used to visit when I came to Arz Yisrael, before I made Aliyah, Moshe Tzvi Neria, the Chatzar de Bracha, Rosh Hashiva of Kfaroa. Why I visited him? Because he had a son-in-law, the Chatzar de Bracha. He was Nifta, a very young man. He was a Rosh Kedel in here in Eretz Yisrael, and he became a Ram in my yeshiva in Toronto, a Ram of the ninth grade. He was a Rosh Kedel in Eber Ezra Kedel, and he became a Ram in the ninth grade, the ninth grade Canadians. Praise me. Ech nofu giberim by Yogu Klei Mulchama. He had no Hasoga, had to, besides the fact he had no English. So Rav Neria, that's how he connected me to Ishver, Rav Neria. So Rav Neria told me that in Tavshin Chet, Hashach, when the State of Israel was founded, during that Muhammad HaShechur, he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give us Yerushalayim. So a bit of a pella. People often ask this, why didn't we get Yerushalayim? Lamaisa, somehow we were not able to capture Yerushalayim. Rabbi Willingsleet that this morning described so beautifully and so emotionally the capture of Yerushalayim. He was in 1967 in Kiryat Yavne. He was learning Kiryat Yavne, one of the first Talmidim, American Talmidim, to study in Eretz Yisrael. And he doctors him, he said he was in his junior year abroad, something along those lines. Anyway, so when did this happen? So the Palmach in Tavshin Chet, I think they broke through Shar Tzion, and the Chayilei Tzal were going to go through Derech Shar Shechem, but we were, said Rav Neria, we were.